Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Monday, January the 18th, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 30. The third paragraph begins with, "We alcoholics are men and women," and we'll be studying that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Cindy H., the 12 Traditions, Alice G., and the readers of the text are Shelley E., Mary G., and Kara L. The share ID for Sunday, January 17th, that was yesterday, our special edition, is 1600212. That's 16212. And for this morning's meeting, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 16,218. That's 16218. And our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N. Announcements is Leslie M. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer, our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Cindy H. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Cindy.
This is Cindy H., recovered near Detroit, Michigan.
This is Mary H., the 12 steps.
Mary, it's Cindy H.
Yes.
This week.
Yes, this is Mary
Monday.
H.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Cindy, go ahead, Cindy.
Go ahead, okay. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Cindy H. And I will now ask Alice G. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, Mo. Alice G., compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for the opportunity for service. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Alice G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We're on page 30, the third paragraph down, which begins, "We alcoholics are men and women." And I will now ask Shelley E. to get us started. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive eater in Arlington, Texas. Page 30 of the Big Book, paragraph 3. We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control our drinking. We know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. All of us felt at times that we were regaining control, but such intervals, usually brief, were inevitably followed by still less control, which led in time to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. We are convinced to a man that alcoholics of our type are in the grip of a progressive illness. Over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. Yes, and I'm really thrilled that I got this paragraph. There's so many really important words in this. Inevitable, pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization. I know when I entered these rooms, I was utterly demoralized, and I had no knowledge or understanding of the disease. I know for years, I mean, since I was very young, I tried to control myself and apparently control everything else in my life, which I came to find out later. And I entered, as they say, on a losing streak. I was in a complete food fog, which I didn't even know what that was at the time. But I, looking back now, I know that I was in a food fog, and I was in food fog a lot of the time. My first day in the rooms, I learned about the disease, and I learned that it was not only incurable, but that it was permanent, progressive, and fatal. I was shocked. I had no idea. At this point, I am recovered. I'm not cured. And I know every day it's important I remember who's responsible for my recovery. And that's not me. That's my higher power. I happily allow my higher power to be in charge, and I work every day to stay ahead of my disease. But I'm grateful for sure for all of you guys that have gone before me, and you guys share your knowledge and advice. So I remember, you know, every day my disease is insidious, and I can't let it get foot back in the door. And I have to look out for those three dangerous words: I've got this. With that, I'll pass and have a good day.
Well, thank you, Shelley E., for getting us started. And I'll remind everybody, those who just got on the line, where we're at. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We're on page 30, the third paragraph down. We alcoholics are men and women. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I will now take names of those who would like to share.
Cindy C.
Cindy C.
Laura W.
Laura W.
Maureen S.
Maureen
Annabelle
S.
Z.
Annabelle.
Annabelle Z.
Z.
In Washington.
Z.
As a zebra.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can take two more.
Paul L.
Paul L.
Yes, ma'am.
Who was that last person? After Paul L., was there anybody else? Okay, I'll go with this.
Laura R.
Cindy C. Oh, Laura R. Okay, got Laura W. and Laura R. Okay. All right, here we go. Cindy C., Laura W., Maureen S., Annabelle
Hi,
Z., Paul L., and Laura R. I'll take you on the next round. Thank you. Would you please give your state when you announce yourself? Okay, good morning, Laura. Cindy.
Hi, this is Cindy C. from Illinois. Can I be heard?
You certainly can. Thank you.
Sure. I'm recovered from bulimia and compulsive eating. I hope it's okay that I use written notes because I'm not a good spontaneous public speaker. For me, this paragraph rings of death, grief, and fear, but in a good way. From my first reading of it and every time since, this paragraph and the two prior stopped me in my tracks. These three paragraphs are my illusion smashers, my lie busters. The first sentence implies that I once had the ability to control eating but lost or gave it away somewhere down the line. I don't have childhood memories that are strongly or obsessively connected to food. I don't remember trying to control my food intake until college, when it seemed that everyone in the dorm was dieting. I thought about how amazing it would be again to have the ability to choose a balanced meal from the options available, eat when I'm hungry, and stop when I'm full. I wonder if I could retrain my brain to get back there, to a time when food was innocent. There must be some scientific theory out there that holds a new path, a new way of thinking. To my own astonishment, I'm always surprised at how close I come to gates of insanity or death, yet again, with lofty ideas like these. There might be something with the science, but it's not for me, because I'm here with my fellows exactly where I belong, in what Harlan refers to as the last house on the block. Here, illusions and delusions through the grace of God are smashed. Yes, I sometimes have grief about what compulsive eating has stolen from my life. However, this fellowship is a blessing of people who are committed to relationship with a higher power, truth-telling about ourselves always and forever, and using God-given talents to serve others. To not recognize the richness of this life would also be a pursuit of insanity for me. These instructions save my life every damn day. I could easily go back to denials, facades, and pretense, all of which decrease my desire to pursue a spiritual path and to be an extreme truth teller. This page, page 30, is one that I have bookmarked in my pocket version of the Big Book. When some grandiose idea arises that science holds the answer for me, I reread this. When a foolhardy notion crosses my mind that the sugar alcohol and the Atkins chocolate snacks are not dangerous for me, and I'm only speaking for myself, I reread this paragraph. When a thought pops into my head that says I'm okay skipping my 10-step tonight, I reread this. I easily identify in any time I read Bill's story, but again, it's this paragraph and the two prior that stop me in my tracks. If I allow myself to be guided by these paragraphs and the instructions in the book, I hope to never again be led to a pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. Thank you to everyone who makes the meeting possible and all who show up every day to help smash the delusions. With gratitude, I pass.
Well, thank you, Cindy C. from Illinois. We now have Laura W. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks, everyone. This is Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. This paragraph is very, very powerful for me, as well as that last share. There are six controls in these two pages. The first two pages are more about alcoholism, which tells me that control is a huge problem of mine. And also the word ever. You know, the writers of this book didn't like to use words like ever and never because, you know, they were very humble, and I believe they didn't want to tell people what they had to do. But it says, we know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. Why? Because we have an allergy and followed by an obsession. That's why I can never regain control. The words delusion, illusion, and self-deception, they're powerful words. They're sort of like, you know, they're not very positive words, and they bring you down. They bring me down. And delusion is the inability to tell the truth from the false. And that's how I lived my life for so many years. When I was controlling my food, I wasn't enjoying it. And when I was enjoying it, I wasn't controlling it. And, you know, we are convinced to a man that alcoholics of our type are in the grip of a progressive illness. Over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. And, you know, even in recovery, the disease is progressive. So it doesn't, you know, I can't rest on my laurels. I can't say, well, I did a 10th step last night. I don't need to do it tonight. Or I went to a meeting Monday. I don't need to go to a meeting today. My disease is progressive, and I need to continue working the steps over and over and over again because, you know, they say, oh, well, I'm on the right track. Well, I'll still get run over if I just stand still if I'm on the right track. So I need to keep moving forward and realize that that this is progressive and deadly. However, on the flip side, recovery is progressive too. The more I work this, the more I work to stay in conscious contact with my higher power, and the more I work at building that relationship with my higher power, the more I will recover. And that's my experience. I can't have a relationship with somebody and not spend time with them. I can't have a relationship with somebody and lie to them. I need to be open and honest and willing to do this work, you know, as humbling as it is sometimes. It's just a great reminder that, you know, I may be recovered, but I am not cured. And if I don't continue to move forward on that track, I will get run over. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Laura W. from South Jersey. Maureen S., you're up, followed by Annabelle Z.
Thank you so very much. This is Maureen S., recovering compulsive overeater in New York. Coming back off of this progressive illness of a relapse, and I am so grateful that you all are here, and this phone meeting is just a life jacket. I love the big book, and when I'm in my drug of choice, which happens to be food, I hide my big book, but I know it, but I never throw it away because I know that I am a compulsive overeater and I know that this is a progressive illness. So it's funny to me, not funny, that I don't ever throw it away. I have this little drawer that, you know, I hide it in, and I'm just grateful to be here. This paragraph is so true. I was looking up the word demoralization. To be demoralized is to lose hope, according to the dictionary. And, oh my gosh, that's the epitome of me when I'm in the food. I just have such a loss of hope. And when I put down the drugs, and this food is a drug, and I open up my big book and I go to a meeting, it's like instantaneously this little window of hope opens. And thank God, I'm just grateful to be back in the room. I'm grateful that I'm just I'm starting again. And I need to read this page every day and put it, you know, and carry it with me, because this disease is progressive, and I do get worse, and I never get better when I think I can control it. And I'm such a selfish person when I'm in the food. Well, by nature anyway, I think, even though on the outside, you think, oh, she's so nice. But when I look at like why I'm eating, it's always me. So I'm really grateful to be here, and I just really love this paragraph. Thank you, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Maureen, for sharing, and welcome back. Maureen is from, oops, I forgot. Anyway, Annabelle Z, you're up, followed by Paul L. Good morning, Annabelle.
Hi, Mo. My name is Annabelle. I'm a compulsive overeater and restrictor and recovered bulimic from Everett, Washington. And I'm so grateful to be able to share on the line this morning. And this paragraph is huge for me. One thing is just that's exactly what brought me into OA in October was I was just stunningly aware that I had no control. And I'm a real compulsive overeater. It says no real alcoholic ever recovers control. And to really admit that to my innermost self, as it mentions in the previous paragraph, is, you know, I had to go through a period of grieving to go, this is my reality. You know, I will not recover control. Then it says that we might have felt that we were regaining control, but you know, I've heard a lot in this program that feelings are not really what, I mean, like I have to admit my feelings, sure. In fact, if anything, I really need to know what do I feel so that I can write it down and then not eat over it. But it's just knowing a feeling doesn't help me recover. And neither does knowledge, because it talks about we lost so much control that we went into demoralization, not just demoralized, but pitiful. Like I just had so much self-pity, like poor me, milkshake down my throat, right? Demoralization, and it was just incomprehensible. So my dictionary definition, I had to look it up too, was to deprive a person of spirit, courage, or discipline, or to throw a person into disorder or confusion, to bewilder. And I'm like, I was so confused. I thought I was crazy. I'm like, how is this possible that I'm at the kitchen counter again, and I'm stuffed, and I'm still trying to look for food. How is this happening? I just had no courage, no discipline, and I was spiritless. I was dead spiritually. And it's incomprehensible. We can't explain it. And even if we do, like we do understand it, which, you know, self-knowledge avails me nothing. I have to have a spiritual change that's sufficient to overcome this compulsion, this mental obsession I have. And the only way I can get that is through the steps. So thank you so much for just an awesome meeting. I'm so grateful to be able to share, and have a great day.
Well, thank you, Annabelle Z from Washington. Paul L, you're up, followed by Laura R. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, this is Paul L, recovering compulsive overeater. And I like the reading. I zoned out a little bit. The great thing about technology is I can listen while I work. And I have a mobile detailing service, and I'm just cleaning cars while I listen. And it's really nice to know that I don't have control today over that. It's not me willing myself to not eat the things that used to cause me to binge and things like that. And January 1st was my 6th month. I really don't count days anymore, but it's nice to know that it's been that long, and it feels good. And I've been able to, you know, when I go to certain places, sometimes I bring my own food because I'm that concerned about my recovery. And I also had to learn that, you know, my diet's not going to be on the cover of fitness magazine. So I have to remember not to take myself so seriously, too. And to know that, you know, in spite of myself, you know, in spite of sometimes not eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I'll have cravings. But I have my sponsor is so big on, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? And that's what she says to me. And a lot of, sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes the answer is no. And the closer my relationship is to my higher power, the better off I'm going to be. And as long as I remember, never forget, my bottom was driving to the store crying because I knew I was going to buy an ice cream cake and eat the whole thing. And I know how I felt. I know I couldn't get out of bed until 9 o'clock because I was depressed. Everything has changed. My whole life has changed. My attitude has changed. And I'm so grateful for the 12 steps and for the people that put up with me complaining for months before I actually had one day. One day was like a party for me. Then it was 2 days, then it was 3 days, and I could go on and on. But I'm just really grateful, and I'm in several other programs, so recovery can be a little overwhelming sometimes to recover from all this stuff in AA and CODA, and so I get to about one of these meetings a week, which is good for me, along with my other stuff. And but with that, I just want to say I'm grateful for everybody who's shared and who's doing service work, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Paul L. from Florida. And next we have Laura R. But before we go to Laura, before you speak, Laura, let me remind everybody, those who are getting on the line a little bit later, in the chapter More About Alcoholism, we're on page 30, the third paragraph down, we alcoholics are men and women. And after Laura, excuse me, I'll take more names. Good morning, Laura R.
Hey, good morning, Mo. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. First and foremost, I want to just say thank you to everyone on the line for the shares and just for, you know, it's so amazing. It's kind of funny. I thought that we were on the paragraph below this, but I was just thinking that, you know, it's the we. Like I today is my 1 year, and I'm just blown away at, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just want to get to a year. If I can only get to a year, it just felt so hard to even get 30 days in this program. And it's been kind of basking and powerful, but I was looking at it this morning, and you're not alone. We're so not alone. I mean, if you're new, just get a tribe. I tell you, in the beginning, before I had that faith that God could and would, if he were sought, I had the women in these rooms that I started developing relationships with, and they literally carried me through, and not trying to look at the next paragraph, but I lost my legs, and they were my legs, you know, when I didn't have any. And because I'm not going to recover choice control. You know, there's just no way. And sometimes, like, this whole paragraph talking about and above is just illusion. Like, I lie to myself, you know, I just do. And so thank goodness for, you know, people when I wanted to pick up, I would reach out and pick up the phone and call. And I had other women saying, girl, like, you got this, you know, tap into higher power, you know, you don't need to pick up, you don't need to do this. And, you know, and whatever experience, strength, and hope they shared. But it's funny, like, I just, wow, this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And, you know, it wants to tell me that I don't have it. And over the year, you know, it's been, I've felt neutral. And I've been through the steps. I've actually worked through them a couple times and done a workshop. I mean, the whole deal. And it sometimes hasn't been easy. And I have to remember, I only have a year. I'm a baby, you know. And I'm so neutral with other things in regards to other programs, but sometimes the thought comes up, you know, and I'm not going to lie. And about 2 weeks ago, I'm on vacation. And really, I had to put down not only the food, but I had to put down the caffeine. And that's been the hardest thing for me. And I was on vacation and, you know, I wanted to drink coffee. And it was 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks to my 1 year, and I almost picked up. And it's hard for me to say that. Because I don't want to say, like, well, what's wrong with her program? Well, you know what? I don't know. I read every day. I call my sponsor every day. I give my reading and writing every day. Like, I'm doing my 10 steps. I'm doing my nightly reviews. And it came up, you know, and thank God for God. Thank God for writing. Thank God for other people. And I didn't have to drink it, you know, and I didn't have to restart. And whew, you know, it takes a village, because my mind is going to tell me to go back every single time. And if it wasn't for, I don't know, obviously higher power was there, because I probably would have drank it. It was a 2-day battle of, like, you know, leaning in and you know, and reaching out. But I think that's, you know, we tell on our disease. Thanks, Mo. We tell on our disease. And again, I just want to say thank you so much to every single person on this line. Even if I don't know you, you helped me one day at a time with my recovery. Mm-hmm. And I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Laura R. from Colorado. And although we value your experience, where's my script? Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience two. So anyone who would like to share in this next round?
Larry G.
Leslie M.
Leslie M. Who was before Leslie?
Liz S.
Liz.
Larry G.
I got you, Larry G. Leslie M.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Anyone else in that lineup? All right, we'll go with those four, considering time. Larry G., Liz S., Leslie M., and Deborah G. And let us know what state you're from when you announce yourself. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Larry G. from Northern California. I want to give a shout out to the reader. It was really a great share kicking off the meeting. I'm going to go back and listen to that today. Oh, man, it's just some of these readings in the last, I don't know, 6 months have been coming here. Just produces so much emotion. I can't think of many books, probably five books that I've read in my lifetime that have an impact like the big book. And I've had this book since 1981, and it's dog-eared and coffee-stained and highlighted, and first time in the last 26 years that I'm actually studying it every single day through the eyes of a compulsive reader. It's really interesting. Of the 26 years, I had I had a couple other periods of outstanding abstinence, and I had both times was an AA sponsor who was an OA that we went through the big book like we are now. But it didn't last. And the reason it didn't last is because I attended meetings that the focus was not in the big book. And I think the reason why Alcoholics Anonymous works so well is because for me, I've got almost 40 years. Every meeting I went to, we talked about principles out of the big book. And I claimed my seat there, and I was reinforced every single meeting of the common apparel and the solution. And here I am in a vision for you. And every meeting, we talk about the common peril and the solution. You know, the common peril in face-to-face meetings I was going to was the out-of-control teen or the non-responsive spouse or a micromanaging boss. And then we would build our story around that and how we can stay absent. But here we talk about the common peril, which is a progressive illness. It says a progressive illness. We never get worse. We get worse, never better. And I could tell you, in the end, it was taking me, I don't know what we'd call it in Alcoholics Anonymous. I know in AA we call it the wet brain. And I know that in Alcoholics Anonymous, it was now taking me about 3 or 4 days to leach out the, I could feel it in the frontal lobe of my brain. It was just like I couldn't put two thoughts together. It was like a thick fog. It used to take about 8 to 12 hours. It was now taking almost 2 or 3 days, sometimes 4 days. I added up the calories in my last binge before I got into a vision for you. It was over 22,000 calories of flour and sugar. I mean, that's right. Food poisoning. Anyway, the common peril. We never get better. It's progressive illness. Larry from California, thank you.
Thank you very much, Larry from California. Liz S., followed by Leslie M. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, it's Liz S. from New Hampshire. I think this may be my favorite page in the book, because Bill goes to such great lengths, truly to, I believe, to explain step one. And when I think of, you know, we're not only powerless, he really explains what that means. And this lack of control, we don't have it anymore. It's gone. And the continual attempt to try to get it back, to be under control, to have control, and it doesn't work over and over and over again. And what he is saying here is, you know, as in the paragraph before, you have to fully concede to your innermost selves you know, that you are an alcoholic, and you cannot control. You cannot control the food or the alcohol. It's not possible. And we are convinced to a man that alcoholics of our type are in the grip of a progressive illness. And I've been there. You know, I've picked up. And, you know, someone, as many people have said, it's just a question of yets. What have I done yet? What have I, you know, it is progressive. I did things that I'd never done in the disease, horrible things. I mean, I ate stuff that I had not done. I went to lengths that I had not gone. And, or I thought that I could control it for a day. 5 years later, I stopped. And this is why I think this page is very, very important, especially to newcomers, you know, who are starting out. And I greatly appreciate the fact that Bill took the time to write this page and fully explain what step one is about and what it means to have this illness, and the fact that you cannot control the substance. You simply cannot. And if you try, you will fail. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Liz S. from New Hampshire. Next will be Leslie M., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And the thing that you know, hits me, as others have said, is that, you know, he uses the word control 4 times in this paragraph. And that's what I continued to think. You know, I've been in OA for 30 years, and shortly I will be celebrating 3 years of entire abstinence and being recovered. But for that first 27 years, I thought that there was something I was supposed to be doing about this, that I was going to be, you know, I could turn around and control it. You know, one time in 6 months, I'll say I had one of these, and that would be my control. Oh, yeah, I got this. No problem. The rest of the 6 months, I was off to the races every day. You know, every day it was something else. It was, you know, and I'd make those resolutions. But I continued to think that I was supposed to be doing this. You know, I did not admit. I didn't take step one, basically, is what I did. You know, I was never powerless to the point where I said, okay, God, until my last relapse. And that happened when I had been 7 weeks entirely abstinent. And I saw how my thinking took me right back into the food. And at that point, I surrendered. And I said, okay, God, if you don't, you know, if I try to do this, food is going to be in charge of the rest of my life. And if I don't do something different here. So I followed the directions. And what do you know? I followed the directions precisely as they're written, as my sponsor told me. And I recovered, you know. And I'm grateful for that every day, because my life is, you know, I use this all the time, but it's beyond my wildest dreams. I didn't know that, you know, I could be so happy and be abstinent at the same time. That just was never in my wheelhouse. And I'm so grateful to have this and to have this meeting every day. So thanks, everybody. Bye. I pass.
And thank you, Leslie M. from New York. And Deborah G.
Hi, everyone.
Deborah.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. Deborah Jean from Arizona, compulsive overeater. And thank you, Mo, for your service again. And all of those that are making this meeting possible, and all the shares to continue to 12-step me this morning. I need that so much. And I can remember the last time when I went through the steps, and it was brought to my attention in my step one experience about honesty. Never thought about the word honesty. And I heard and learned that that was the principle of step one. And because I learned that, I was continuing to believe the lie that I wasn't a compulsive overeater, and continued to go back and back and back. And then the unmanageability got worse and worse and worse. My head got crazier. My life got crazier. Everything got crazier. And that's just what happens when I have that experience with the food. And it's funny, I heard recently someone say to me that when you reach for the food, you're giving the food power instead of that power in step two, it's like I'm reaching for the food and I'm giving God the finger. I love that analogy. That was good. And it was like, oh, wow. You know, it's like continuing to remember the truth and to be honest with myself. See, because it was not honesty with myself that would continue to take me back. And I'm so grateful for that awareness, for that awakening, and I don't have to live like that again. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. So we have approximately 10 minutes, so we could take three more shares. So on page 30, the third paragraph, it begins with, "We alcoholics are men and women." So who would like to share?
Shlomit Hanabi.
Good morning, Shlomit. Who else?
Penny LC.
Penny LC. One more. Okay, let's go with those two. We have Shlomit Hanna B and Penny LC. Good morning, Shlomit Hanna.
Good morning, Mo. Can you hear me?
I can, very clearly. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much for your service. Wonderful to hear you. Thank you, everybody, for being on this meeting. I'm Shlomit Hanna B, and I'm so glad that I was able to get on to the last part of the meeting today, because this is such a powerful paragraph. There's so much in here, and I think that for me, what really stood out was, I'm looking for where we are. That we are in the grip of a progressive, thank you, of a progressive illness. Over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. And then somewhere in the paragraph, it also talks about that we have, we have a relapse, we try to get better, and then we're followed by a worse one. And, you know, actually, today is my four-month anniversary and my birthday. It's the best birthday gift I could ever have of abstinence and being in recovery from a relapse that lasted a year and a half. And before that, I had been abstinent for 11 and a half years, and I was completely shocked when my relapse started, and as it progressed, that the relapse, first of all, also got progressively worse. But I was really shocked to see how my disease had progressed. I had no idea that I would be doing the things that I would be doing during those 11 and a half years. I had no idea. First of all, my types of binges changed. My binges got worse. Before I'd had that extended abstinence, I had never started binging in the morning. And in relapse, I started binging in the morning. And I would binge all day. I'd never been an all-day binger. I became an all-day binger. I also was not really a sugar addict. My binges usually started with savory foods. I would always take something savory over something sweet. And that completely changed. I became a sugar addict. And I started my binges with sugary foods in the morning. And I would continue. And it really made my head spin because I hadn't done that. And, you know, I'd been abstinent, thank God, for 11 and a half years, and I'd been recovered. But I didn't, and my binges had not looked like that before that time, but it really has reinforced to me that you know, as we progress, our disease also grows and our recovery grows too. It works both ways. But God forbid, picking up the food really did not put me back to 11 and a half years ago. It put me back to 11 and a half years later. So thank you. I'll pass.
Yeah. Thank you, Shlomit Hanna B. And we now have Penny LC. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny Elsie, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I'm going to take the liberty here to speak to the idea that it's not even just my food that I have no control over. I'm a human being, and I have no control over any person, place, or thing in my life. And I will never have that control. I'm not meant to have that control. And when I try to regain that control, disaster happens. If I try to manage, manipulate, whatever, anyone or anything around me, I'm in trouble. And that started, the most apparent way was with the food, how much I tried to control it. But once the food was down and I had neutrality, I still had work to do. And I still continue to have work to do. Each day, I need to start fresh and be humbled and realize I have no control over anything. And I have to be willing, and gratefully so, willing to give control over to my higher power. That's where my freedom comes. And until I'm willing to admit that, believe that it's my higher power's job and not mine, and commit to turning it over and turning it over and turning it over every time I have a thought that comes up that I want to control something, I'm going to be struggling. But when I can do that, then I can walk in that light and love that is such an amazing pathway to be on. But I've got to be willing to do the work each day. Each day is anew. It doesn't matter how many days have come before, how many years have come before. Today is what I have. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Penny LC from Washington. We have time for one more share. Somebody would like
Mary
to share. Who was that?
Miriam Rifka.
Oh, hi, Miriam. Miriam Rifka. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for this opportunity. This is Miriam Rifka H., compulsive eater in New Jersey. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity to share. I just have been through, I feel so hopeful at this moment. I have been binging nonstop almost since the end of September when I chose to pick up sugar because I was feeling lousy. And I have not been able to get my head out of the sugar for any significant period of time since then. And I just want to like shout from the rooftop, like, yes, this is true. This gets worse and never better. And the reason I'm feeling hopeful today is because I'm feeling so hopeless. As strange as that sounds, like I woke up this morning with just this awareness, and because of, I can't go into it, but several things that have been happening that I've been doing or not doing that just really show me what an addict I am. I keep telling people I may as well be on heroin. Like the food is doing the same thing to me. And this morning, God directed me to speak to someone, and as a result of that, I had the willingness to pack up every single binge food in my house, put it in my trunk because I do have several children who will not be happy with me if I get rid of it forever, you know, completely. But I had a willingness to do that, and I just feel so grateful for that willingness. I know that that's not my solution. I know that my solution is the big book and the steps and this relationship with my higher power. But I feel grateful to have been able to do that first step, to have that willingness of like, yes, I want to put this down. I want to have a relationship with you, God. Please help me. So I thank you for this opportunity, and you guys are saving my life. And just thank you all for being there and for this meeting. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Miriam Rifka, and you'll take us out. And so thank you all who shared today on this powerful paragraph, this powerful chapter. So I will now ask Mary G. to read a vision for you on page 164. Good morning, Mary.
Hello, everyone. This is Mary G. in Arizona, recovered and grateful to be here today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great things will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless and keep you until then.